Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I give a shit. How are you doing today? It's hot out there, right? Anyway, you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about vacation, folks, because you know what? Where I'm going to be next week? I'm going to be at the Jersey Shore. You know, I love vacation. You know, if I don't go on vacation myself, I just get so jealous and FOMO addict. There's a word there. I'm going to get it, but not now on the radio. But anyway, just don't show me too many of your vacation pics, and I'm not going to show any of mine. I don't post my vacation pics because I feel like you don't really need to know about it. It's not that interesting, except to me. So thanks for listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit on Radio Free Brooklyn. We are the most fabulous radio station in the world because I've listened to all of the stations and I know. But I really, I want to give us a plug because, you know, we got this new version 2.0 of our app. And it's really great. Like the best way to listen to the radio station is if you download radiofreebrooklyn.org/iPhone or /Android. Just download it on your phone and then you will never be alone. You will have your friends at Radio Free Brooklyn around you constantly. And you know what? That can drive you a little crazy too. But you have control. Don't forget, if you want to turn it off, you can. Anyway, so I'm, So you know I'm a little weird, but, and I don't, you know, I don't, there's nothing normal about, well, there's a lot of really normal, there's a lot of boring things about me too, I guess, but that, this is not about me. So I had great good fortune last week. I was with my husband, Phil. Are you listening, Phil? You're at work today. Maybe not. You're at your office. Anyway, I was walking at this park near in our neighborhood in Bushwick, and we came across this great charismatic speaker saying so many amazing things about helping people and children, and you know he wasn't just saying it. Somebody was making a video. I found a documentary about it. Okay, it wasn't like just some crazy guy. All right, you get it. So anyway, it was this guy that was saying really powerful things in a really powerful way. And we stood and watched him for a while with Astro, our dog. And then we went over and chatted with him. And I thought he would be such a great guest today. And so I actually got him to come here for you guys. And I have never really had he's a humanitarian. I have never had anybody like this on my show before. He's done so many things. He's involved in so many things, mostly helping kids. So this is what, I'm going to fumble through this a little bit, but he is involved in one. I'm going to just tell you, we do have something that you can go to attend and meet him on Sunday, August 5th. And it's called Hip Hop to Hip Hope, Guns Down, Stop the Violence. And it's on Sunday, August 5th, and it's a ride I'm going to introduce you. His name is Dr. Kelvin Rappin Tate. So, Dr. Kelvin Rappin Tate, what is a ride?
The ride, well, first of all, I want to thank you, and it's a great honor to have met you and your husband. And
our dog.
And the K-9. I called him K-9.
He's a yappy, bratty dog, right?
He's definitely was humbled. You don't catch him like that.
No, I don't know.
Humble's beginning. Yeah.
Well, humble beginning, yes.
Yeah. I just want to just really say that the ride is going to be, it's called, first of all, I have to send a greetings to you and your station. From the Secretary General of the United Nations, I am the youth advisor, first appointed humanitarian youth advisor to the Secretary General of El Salvador. And I'm the first humanitarian hip hop to hip hope artist to ever be advising. So that is a great deal for the music world and the culture of what we consider spoken word that is prolifically as real, true hip hop to hip hop.
Look at me, guys. Can you believe I got this guy on here just by meeting him on the street? I'm impressed. I'm feeling good right now. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. And so we're going to have this event. We're going to be having an honor and remembrance. My brother's anniversary is coming up October 31st. He was slaughtered, giving his life for a 3-year-old and a mother at a gas station, building homes for Habitat and Humanity. And along with
building
other,
homes.
Yes.
Wow. For yes. Habitat Humanity. And how old were you when he was murdered?
You're taking 10 years off of that. I was right about 30.
When he was murdered a long time ago.
Ago. I was 35.
No.
I was 35. I mean, 10 years to that point. Yeah, 35.
Right.
So, and he would have been 30 this year.
So, it was only 5 years ago. That's not very long ago, really.
Yeah, it's not really not long
ago. No, not at all. No.
So, what we're doing is, I've always been doing work since I was 14 and using hip-hop as hip-hope to uplift and encourage people. I always just want to see the world from a global perspective. I always thought through the arts and through the music, maybe painting, visual arts or whatever it may be, a spoken word, that it can heal, because that's what it did for me. It allowed me to express, to be able to heal myself and go through. So to answer your question to the riot, we're going to actually have motorcycles. We're inviting, we would love to have as many motorcycles. Thanks God for 73rd Precinct, Inspector Moscow, and thanks for the NYPD, for the Chief Madry, for giving me the green light. They normally don't do this and go out of their way, but they did honor it, and they thought that it's a great occasion, because we figured that we're going to go after these boys called the Red and Blue Boys, I call them. And some say Crips and Bloods, but my brother was assassinated, eradicated by one of those. I won't say which one on the radio, but he was eradicated, and his life was taken by, and I looked into how can I, because the guy that took it was young. He went in, and I was looking at how can I take this death certificate and use it as a way, as a birth certificate.
Can you get over that? That is so powerful. I mean, here's a man who is using compassion to just overcome something that would be so easy to hate, to have hate and contempt and all that rage, and you're just turning it into compassion. It's fucking crazy, man. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so thank you. So basically, what I've done, because I've done a lot of journeys here, and so me being at the Secretary General side and being his humanitarian advisor, they in the UN, they're working on a 2025 campaign with young people, rather young adults especially, between the ages of 19 to at least 30. They want to see them actually having control of being able to be entrepreneurs and being able to run their own programs in whatever city, state, or community. So it wasn't hard for me to accept to be the advisor to him, because what he loved about me was that I had already been done it. I started my first not-for-profit at 14, got 3 board of directors, went to the Secretary of State. Don't say where my money is, but I turned it over to my cousin, and it's over 25 years old, and she's still running the program and everything.
Okay, so you idiots who are hanging out in your basement, you know, smoking weed and watching, you're probably playing video games. Get on it. Look at this guy. So we're going to get into like more about who Kelvin is, but I just want to sum it up if you want to get involved. So this ride on Sunday, August 5th at 928 Mother Gaston Boulevard, Brooklyn. And they meet at 11 and you leave at 12 noon. Yes. Okay. And I'll post that on my Facebook page too.
Thank you.
So you know where to go. So, anyway, Kelvin, you know, so here's the thing. Okay, so this is so amazing to me that, you know, like, I always, like, make it like I've had it so rough because, you know, I had abusive parents or crazy, you know, my father was hospitalized for depression. Mm. But, you know, I guess we all overcome our own stories. But yes. When I was talking with Kelvin before we came on the air, I mean, I want I want to see if we can sort of communicate what really going through a hard life as a child is, because I don't know if everyone knows what is possible, what happens for some children, and like how strong and exemplary. My new friend, can I call you my friend now?
Yes.
My new friend Kelvin is.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for accepting me.
Because I want to understand what you're doing, and I just want people to know what you've been through a little bit. So tell us a little bit. You were in foster care.
Yes.
With your aunt, and then yes. What happened?
Well, I want to give a big shout out to Aunt Bert and Uncle Clint Wike, the Wike family.
Mm-hmm.
W-I-K-E. You're
born in Brooklyn, right?
It's an interesting story. It's a journey off Elvis Town. My father was in Air Force. He was stationed in upstate New York, preparing to go to Texas, route to Texas. This story I was told. And my mother went in labor in Memphis, Tennessee on a 747.
Wow.
And so the plane had to reroute back to Memphis.
Oh, my God. Land.
And so a nurse that was an actual retired nurse that was an air flight attendant that actually, and I used to keep up with everyone young, but we lost contact. But I was birthed on the plane. And
that's amazing.
And so they said this baby is going to be
now
a child.
Now it makes sense. You were birthed on a plane. Okay, that explains everything. I got it.
So they said I'll be flying. This child will fly forever. So I'm still looking for my wings.
Really? Wow.
So after that, my aunt birthed him, literally took me in. I was a child, and they raised me. We left Brooklyn. I went to PS 149 public school, and I left there, and we went up to Maryland. And then Maryland didn't like nothing in the 80s about New York. So at that, my uncle...
You were bullied.
I was bullied. There you go.
Okay, and then you got in trouble. I'm condensing this so we can find out more. We can get
it all in. Yes.
Okay, go ahead. So you were bullied and you got in trouble, but because somebody bullied you.
Yeah, they bullied me, and I literally saw him bullying others too. So
yeah.
Me boxing at PAL, I had a little stop there. So I was able to defeat his name, Superman, and I became New York.
Okay, so let me just tell you that the guy that this gentleman sitting, my new friend, is a very large and powerful looking man. You looks like easily could be, doing security anywhere. if you wanted.
Yeah, I'm there. If you need a private.
Yeah.
I'd do
bodyguard.
It. I'd take it.
Yes,
I would take it.
I wish I needed one, but no one cares. no one that my husband can't deal with.
Right.
So anyway, go ahead. So you were...
So once I got in trouble there, and eventually
you had to go back in the system.
Back into the system, ended up in Chicago.
The foster care system.
Yes, Department of Children and Family Services, which they changed it now, but Human Family Services now. But I ended up there, and then in my route there, I realized that Chicago had a lot of gangs. And I try not to say gangs because stereotype. I say street nations. And the reason why I say street nations, because when we all go into society, we hit the streets and we all have our own ethnic and our own nationalities. But at the same time, we have to deal with what's out there. Mm-hmm. So I eventually, by the time I was 14, I thank God, make sure you be wherever she's at. Reverend St. Clair, she's about 96 now. And she saw something special because in me, I was over there. We had knocked down Reverend Jackson's place. What happened was that Reverend Jesse Jackson, with this Operation Push thing, was talking about children, and we weren't seeing youth there. And we saw them. We was just saying they pimping and making money off everybody. And it's poor people getting lied to and tricked on. So what I did is I brought in like 1,000 youth, and somebody called all these polices, and they wanted to know who brought them in here. And when they found out it was I that brought the youth there, and I was a youth myself, that's when Reverend St. Clair said, we got to let him go to tour the jails, let him get some real experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, I was able to emerge from that. And then I went from touring houses, touring over 386 public schools, and my name became repertoire. And then in around 88, 89, I dropped the first single. We sold over 10,000 units, and I began to use all of that to engage. I was also a teen alcoholic, so I used all these things to try to motivate myself. but looking for those that are looking to motivate themselves, that's not trying to depend on anyone for free or get or manipulate someone for something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you took all of that horrible stuff that you had been thrown into and like plussed it or like just made it like so. I don't know how somebody like I'm really impressed. That's all.
Thank
I
you.
Just like I see people that like fall down under much, much less. But you obviously have some real, you know, inner drive to really connect with people. So you are motivated to help kids.
Yes.
And you were saying to me that a lot of times with the kids that you help, you wind up seeing yourself in them. Or what in you like helps you identify with these kids? Or what is that?
Well, I was a child that was, I had an impediment. I had, my mother was, it's an experiment called the eugenics. You had to go study. But my mother was a part of that experience. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, she's the one to tell me the story. And because she couldn't believe I could speak as well as I did. Mm-hmm. And that's what fascinated her. But the thing was that when I see a child that have autism or have impediment problems or a child or anyone, you know, today, it could be because you got older people that have problems, too. And when someone is basically dehumanizing them and made them and causing them to become a part, feel as they're ostracized from an environment, from society. I look at that as a humanity effort. I look at that as a human being. That's a person. And so immediately what kicks into me is self-motivation demonstration. No conversation. And so, sorry, it's rhymes, but that is mm-hmm. what it is. And so what I do is I begin the process on like what they like to do, what they want to do. And then mm-hmm. what I do is use myself by not telling them about it, but I like what I'm doing with you, inviting you guys out on the 5th, so that the world can see. And that's mm-hmm. what I'm doing with the young people. I want them to be able to see, not that I'm this great white hope, because they're the hope, mm-hmm. we're the hope, the nation is the hope, mm-hmm. society is the hope, but mm-hmm. it's up to them to say, I can come out of this and I can emerge and I will.
And also, it sounds like your passion for music, and you say you do a lot of spoken word mostly.
Yes,
now,
I mean,
right?
I have to. There was
which is what
funny.
I kind of saw you doing, right?
Yes.
So that seems like a way that you relate to youth, because that's a universal language. And if you're like you're essentially one of them, like a young person, because you're part of that same music. Is that what is that kind of what happens there, or
yes.
your way of connecting?
And then when it comes to when you look at what's happening with the Israelis in Pakistan, and you look at what's happening in like when you look at Exaton and like on all these young rappers that just getting eradicated or they're dying from all synthetic drugs, but especially the ones that's in the streets, that's affecting everything globally. And it's affecting us in the cultural, in the music, in the arts. Now, most positive artists, we come from different denominations, walks of faith, but we get along just fine because we're not pushing religion. We're pushing inspiration, uplifting, motivation for people to get people to heal for themselves and do as we do.
Right.
And so the whole concept for me is how do we get people without pushing religion, without preaching religion, without making somebody become what you want them to become, but they become what their life has predestined them to be and evolutionizing them to go far in life and to be. How do we take all of this and make sense of it and make it a reality? And that's when I look at David and I think about how he wrote the spoken word in the Injil, in the Torah. When I look at how Moses did what he did mm-hmm. and how Solomon. So I look at the Proverbs, I look at all of this. And so that's how life, like you and I, this is the spoken word. It doesn't have a rhythm or physical beat to it, but the beat and the rhythm is actually prophetically coming, is delivering, and it's engaging, and it's allowing us to institute where people can begin to use their imagination and illustrations like they were mm-hmm. in the 60s when they didn't have television in the 40s and 50s when they were just starting with Tom Edison and everybody. Mm-hmm. So this is what we want to do mm-hmm. in spoken word to get the new generation to become as a prolific writer as Lord Yahshua was, and as David and Solomon mm-hmm. with the apprenticeship mm-hmm. and the thought patterns.
You know, that was interesting also, what we were talking about a little bit before that I think is worth creating some awareness about, because I wasn't aware of it. But you said that synthetic drugs are a big problem, or being sort of used and maybe propagated a bit by the hip hop community. Is that right? Or like, can you explain more about that so people can keep an eye out or understand that?
Yes, no problem. Yeah, thank you. Well, the hip hop. Let's go. I go, like I said, once again, I go from the days of what the Torah. The Torah to me is or the Bible, the Injil. These books, even I talk to my Muslim brothers out there, the Quran. I say those are all spoken word books, whatever. But the thing that I'm looking at doing is how do we be the game changers and becoming those prolific writers as artists? Maybe even through your illustration and painting, because paintings, they really project a lot and it says a lot.
Yeah.
And even in comedy, comedy has a way on how to cause the sense of humor to be invigorate itself, where it can begin to, where the person either laughing, sad, sorrow, tear, no different than a sport player on a court or a football field, changing lives as well. So the whole concept is to take these lyrics and take this word and spoken word, inject it as a needle being injected into someone's body so that someone can begin to see their musculatory system, respiratory system, nervous system come into place where they can be in subjection so that they can be able to utilize these services to make something of themselves and become that is greater than what they are in the face of the nation.
Right. So you're using hip-hop to...
Hip hope.
And hip hop, you're making hip hope. But so is there a synthetic drug problem in the hip-hop community?
Well, I'll start with myself. I've been 22 years clean myself. And since the time from I'm dealing with all entertainment now. From sports to the microphone.
Right.
And yes, the synthetic drugs right now has rapidly taking out a lot of our artists. The industry, I don't blame the hip-hop community.
Right.
The people like this, the human, but they do have some responsibility and accountability.
Yeah.
That I do, because
every public figure does,
you know,
right?
And that's what I'm doing. That's why I do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But when we're losing young people that's on synthetic drugs and carrying guns and knives, and then they don't have no memorialization of what they may have done, or it's too late, that's a problem in America. That's a problem across the country. When you look across Africa, just finding that, and I was on Tramadol because I was hurt and injured in football, blind sight, thrown in a coma. Because my uncle introduced me to alcohol. I didn't ask for it. He told me it's Kool-Aid, and that's how I ended up on it. But Tramadol is raiding over in certain parts of Africa right now. Children are literally falling out, killing, slaughtering, and murdering each other, and it's not being talked about. So when we look at in the United States, we look at all of these rappers, and if you just look at them, you could tell they don't know synthetic drugs. Opioid is, we know that's raiding, but these K2s, they got all of these different packages and different things. So then the next thing you know, I tell people, you can't go one without the other. We got to push both. So what I did, I compounded into a hip hop word. And what I did, I said, I call it drug gun. And they said, what is drug gun? Drugs and guns. Because you can't go one without the other.
Wow.
I lost a brother to violence, and the guy was high from what I was so intoxicated when he murdered my brother. And then at the same time, I've seen artists die right before me and off these particular synthetic drugs. And people in Harlem, I literally seen die right there, and they could not bring them back because at that time, they didn't have a lot of things they have today.
So it's also interesting to me that the government or whatever, whoever it is, that there's a big push about an awareness campaign, say, about opioids. But this is also a big problem, synthetic drugs. And that's not being addressed. Is that true?
Yeah, well, it's not being addressed enough, but that's one reason why I call it drugging. And me, I look at as a humanitarian, this is things I'm looking at bringing to the UN. I have 3 years in this seat and advising the Secretary General of Salvador. And we're looking at, because we're talking about sustainable goals, and we're talking about how we develop and using the getting the UN involved into this substance abuse and what's happening out here with our girls and sons. So what we're going to do is just basically utilize me as a person who went through this experience, which that's real. That's in real time.
Yeah.
And then as an artist, but at the same time, giving them the actual fact. Because like, I'll give you one closing. There was a guy... excuse me, just recently, an artist that was from LA, I'm trying to get his name on top, but anyway, he ended up taking PCP. And with the PCP, this 3 years ago, I think he sold over 500,000 albums in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And he did, and by 2001, he was done. But he was out there. Where he eventually ended up taking the drugs 3 years ago and eating his girl's organs. They instituted him, and they asked and questioned him, did you have any ideology of what you have done? And he said, no, I want to get out of these cuffs. They said, well, you won't be. You'll be here a long time because mm-hmm. you ate your girlfriend's organ. So this is what I'm saying, that when you mix these drugs, now, a lot of people say, legalize marijuana. I say, okay, we understand that there are some legalization and certain things that for certain people, because I have musculatory disorder myself, and I understand inflammatory, mm-hmm. and there's certain things that just mm-hmm. help you out. But with this, we're saying when it's synthetic, when it was synthetic, when you got those drugs mixing like that, we got to get more information and be more informative, but it's going to take more people like myself who are true and willing to stand and actually explain this to these young artists mm-hmm. and challenge the young artists to mm-hmm. become a better leader and involvement and maybe sustaining to help other young people from sports of entertainment to the microphone to the fields.
So do you feel like some of the problem or maybe what part of the solution is for young people to have better leaders?
Yes. Well, I can tell you this. With technology stage, I personally, because I've grown with these young people now that's 25 to 35. Mm-hmm. And so those that's 25, 35, that now have children, they're pretty brilliant. Mm-hmm. The tech world, the technology world, they just, them along with now that next generation mm-hmm. between 17 to 28, that generation needs to be inspired to inspire themselves. And that's all I am. I'm just a product of inspiring my independency and allow myself to be modified so that they can begin to modify themselves, and it becomes like a domino effect. And then each generation, mm-hmm. each cultural and all ethnic of nationalities will be able to what we call hip hop to hip hop. Like you are one, I'm one, that makes two. But imagine if our mindsets become one greater as one together, combined it on how we can mm-hmm. cause these young people and young adults to begin to be mm-hmm. greater thinkers and greater critical thinkers and being able to really resolve their own conflict resolution than someone trying to push something down them.
Well, you know, I get this feeling that, you know, you look at, you can look at a child and believe that that child, even if they're 8 years old or 5 years old, has the ability to sort of be okay to have their own agency to look for positive things. Like you had a story about when you were in a foster home. Yes. And you called one of your mentors and they got you out.
Yes. That to answer to, because you have all these religious people that play games with people's lives. Mm-hmm. And that's what we talk about in the culture. That's why people are not annoyed by these institutions these days, because it's like, you know, well, we'll do the church outside is what everybody says. But the thing is that when I look at what happened to me, I was molested mm-hmm. By foster parents. Mm. And then one biological parent, relative down the line. Mm. So going through these traumatic traumas, somehow getting to this point, and my uncle introducing me to alcohol was kind of like an escape, I thought. And with all of this, and then coming into the spoken word world, being able to use that as an outlet to express and say what I need to and let it mm-hmm. off my chest. And when I started looking into the behold eyes of my own peers, I began to see things they didn't have to explain. And so it is with the world for me now. And so what I do, instead of, some people say, hey, you just judge me. No. What I do is I lead by the example. Like, okay, if I heard them speak, say, I went through this, I went through that. Or if I can see in their soul by being around them and experience with them, sometimes it can happen spontaneously. But when it does happen, I just become a leader and a role model for it. And what I do is I look for them to come and say, yo, Tate, I saw something in you. and I think I can do greater. And I said, that's what I was looking for. Yeah.
So, oh God, it's so inspiring. Oh my God. I mean, this is going to like break my cynical defense. I don't know if I can handle this, folks. So you know what I'm going to do then? I'm going to do a station ID. How's that?
All right, let's do it. ID'd up.
So anyway, I just have to remind you that you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, and I appreciate you listening to us. You know, things are really tight for everybody these days, and if you want to help support us, that would be so great, because we're trying to really get the word out on so many levels. So just go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. You know, you can make a one-time donation, and any amount is very, very much appreciated. So anyway, if you are tuning in now, I'm here with Dr. Kevin Rappentate, and we're talking about, he's an inspiring humanitarian, and you, there's just way too much, but you'll see. We've been talking about, how he's really inspiring youth, okay? That's kind of summing it up in one sentence. So anyway, Kevin, do people call you Tate? We don't really know each other for that long. I mean, I'm calling you Kevin. Are you used to calling Dr. Kevin? I don't really even know best way.
Well, now because I am I'm under the UN diplomat, and I hold the title, I'm an ambassador. So I'm an ambassador for peace. So it can be Ambassador Tate. Yes.
Ambassador Tate.
Yes.
Oh my God. See, yeah. this is so countertransference of me, because like I can't believe that I have somebody who's like who's titled Ambassador Tate in the studio with me.
Well, it's real.
Okay, folks. This is happening. Ambassador Tate. Thank you. I'm glad I asked that.
I should have asked that
like right in the beginning. But anyway, so, you know, you have someone, I know that you've accomplished or have helped a lot of people, which is an accomplishment, but I know you're doing it because you have to, and I understand that, and it's really meaningful to hear about, and I want to, just to get, like, some, you know, try to imagine some of what's happened with you and the kids that you've worked with. So can you give us like one or two stories? You don't have to use names, but just like personal incidences that you've gone through with young people.
Oh yeah. Like the young man you saw on the camera, his name is Craig Taylor. We started a company called CNT Media, Craig and Tate. Mm-hmm. But what I did was, like I said early on, I started my first not-for-profit when I was 14, and Craig just finished college, but he had been looking for me because no one was out there done what I did in my young days. And he saw that I was still relevant and still doing it. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't believe I was in New York. So he researched it. And
did he find you?
He found me through like everything else, the social media, and got in contact with me. But he was kind of like a low self-esteem, and he was getting ready to graduate. And
high school, college?
Yeah, college. All my students are coming with degrees. We're going in degrees now.
Oh, wow, really? Okay.
Yeah, Hip Hop to Hip Hope. Don't forget, that's the program. Hip Hop to Hip Hope. But anyway, what I did, basically, I heard him out, and I made his dream of what he wants to become and do in society a reality by accepting him to do my documentary, because that's what he went to school for. That's what he trained for.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, in most cases, when you go to colleges, we normally don't pursue the goal. We end up doing some other things. So with me, I have my PhD in divinity. I have a minor in broadcasting, but at the same time, I don't worry concerned about those accolades. I'm more concerned about humanity and society. And so I made his a reality. So he's a plus success, because he's now, once he's got all my archives of tapes, things that I never looked on VHS tape.
Oh, wow.
And he's actually piecing them together. He even threw some up on Facebook. He's so excited. He's throwing them on YouTube, watching the little skinny me. I couldn't believe it. I think I was eating a lot of protein. It was protein. I call it like a protein vegetables. But the other success story is in Chicago, a young lady. that's now 27, married, has two children, and she's an attorney. And
wow.
She's a counsel. And she remembered when I was using my literacy program, READ, and I was telling you, which acronym, which is under Dr. Burrell today, Rejuvenate, Exonerate All Delinquent. And now she's a successful attorney and counselor, and she's now orchestrating and building up young people in the west side of Chicago so that they can become more into the civics form of life so they can go back wow. and fight on their own. So those wow. are two success stories there.
So that's like kind of like having grandchildren, isn't it?
I feel great. That's why I told you. So I'm like the Moses of hip hop to hip hop.
Are there any young people that you're working with now that you're excited about?
Oh, yeah. We're working all throughout the Brooklyn tri-state communities.
Mm-hmm. Any personal stories of women, people in particular?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have one story right now, a right away story. Young man out of Bronzeville. His name is James Mortrell. James Mortrell is 30 years of age, grew up in Bronzeville, and he just started, he started 10 years ago. He had an idea. His grandfather had died, introduced him to a guy that owned a pizzeria mm-hmm. place. Pizzeria guy was about to go out of business. James jumped in and got partnership with him, and now the pizzas are selling like crazy. Community is going Beautiful. And supporting it because James is from the community. Plus, he gives pizzas back to the community. So, very brilliant, very broad. He has his bachelor's science degree. And then the other part is that he actually has a cleaning business and a janitorial cleaning business. And what he does is he hires young people from the development that's out of the community that wants to work, and he employed them by going to keep their own buildings cleaned and keep the urine and things out of the elevators and off mm-hmm. the can. And mm-hmm. so it's like one way of being able to keep your own community clean, but also you're being compensated for it. So that's the right now success.
Wow.
Story.
It's so great to hear that just, I love hearing positive things like that there's, you know, there's so much crap going on, and it's so good to hear. It's so refreshing. My God.
Yes.
So,
and I do have another.
Yes, please.
And I will love to leave you with a spoken word. That's my gift.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I have, because you were saying hip hop to hip hop, we're going after families in the arts now. We're not going single. We're mm-hmm. after family. So I do have a family that I'm modeling. I have a young man that has three children, but he has a son right now that I grew with when he was just 2 years of age. He's 4 years old right now. His name is Heptep. He's going to be performing mm-hmm. with me on wow. August the 11th. He's going to perform in the Bronx with me. And he's been going everywhere with me.
Oh,
and I
wow.
mean, he prolifically, and I mean, his lyrics comes across like he's 10 or 9. This
wow.
is how great this little 4-year-old is. You will go past him being 4. You'll be excited to see his height, but you'll go past him being 4. And so his father and he actual duet. His father has gotten more gigs than he ever could imagine in his lifetime.
Wow.
Though his father came under a group called Gangstar, which was Guru was his mentor. But I said, if Guru was living today, he would know that this child is the next big thing mm-hmm. and kept secret. Mm-hmm. So that's what Hip Hop to Hip Hop is doing with young people.
You know, I'm thinking about, because you're involved. I mean, one of the causes is, you know, getting rid of gun violence that you're interested in working on. And I feel, I'm guessing there are a lot of people like me, I feel like the whole conversation around gun control in America is so crazy and irrational that I don't even know how to begin to think about it. I mean, it's like, it obviously seems really stupid. Like, do you have any perspective that you can illuminate? Why do you have an understanding why America can't get their shit together on guns?
I tell you this, because I tell people, if you really haven't experienced losing a loved one,
I haven't.
You
from guns, my uncle.
And I pray that you never.
Yeah.
You will never understand why people fight up against it. Now, I tell people realistically, you would have to start with Rome in order to understand the United States, because we're talking about the great days of when they only had rocks like weapons, and they had fire and stone and water, okay? And they was weapons. They was real used as weapons. But for me, I think if you begin to train and educate human beings about something, not that I condone or I promote any form of violence, domestic mm-hmm. violence, juvenile violence, mm-hmm. whatever, verbal violence.
Right.
But education is the most best kept secret on any form of life. And if you educate yourself, you yourself, don't depend on what society may tell you and dictate. You as a parent, you as a mother, you as a community, you as a village, you as a church, you as an institution, whatever, as you educate your people and educate yourselves, that's how it would be able to determine to really come to a solution. I truly believe that if everyone did come into that form of agreement, of alignment, we'll all be probably in a shock of the amount of at least gun violence that may be interrupted. But right now, what people have to watch out for, because they know the laws are changing, again, stricter and stern on young people, and young people knows it. It's the knives that's kind of making a wave now because they can't, because the gun is getting more charges. And what happened, and I'm educated by the young people who actually been.
Yeah, you're in there.
Yeah.
And you see it.
Yes. And they're informing me. And so they're telling me, well, I did the knife thing on them because it's a lesser charge. If I did the gun, I would have got more charges. So
you see it as an education. Do you feel that the people that are making the laws are to remove from, like, what you're talking about, gun violence, having lost a relative from gun violence would definitely be a profound effect on someone's attitudes about guns.
Yes.
So, I mean, I've lost relatives in the war, but it's not the same.
Condolences
so,
go to you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for serving, though.
The thing is that do you think that the people who are making the laws are so removed from that they don't even, they can't even understand it, or?
Well, I can say this. I base this off actual facts.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've constantly conversate with people from all general, even when I was young, I had many questions. So I would actually ask adults questions and challenge them. And then, but when it comes down, you have a lot of people in society. And I give you one, for instance, I remember a friend guy of mine that got raped by his uncle.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to find a job that helps me to lock up every person that touched children.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that to this day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I understand him.
Mm-hmm.
But that was his thought pattern, and based off the perception of what was impersonated upon him. And it should have never happened. Mm-hmm. But that's the thought. So when he doesn't, unfortunately, even if he's wrong, if it comes to a child, this is what he told himself. So it's the same way with most people that may govern in law, like law enforcement. I got them in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And councils. I've heard the conversations among their peers, young in time up to this day. A lot of these people, when they were young, they said to themselves that this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to become a part of make my own solution, make my own rights. Some say I'm going to dictate other human lives and play games because they never experienced it. Then you got some that say I'm going to be a mad scientist and I'm just going to write up in and everything and agree with my peers who's a part of my counselor or part of my law-abiding citizen. So the point I'm making is that a lot of people have grown up before they came adults when they was younger age, and they made their minds and said what they was going to do. And this is true. And that's why you have the churches and institutions and places falling to pieces, because a lot of these young people saw these things. And that's why today now they're adults, they're older, they're grown, full grown, got children. And now they're teaching their children the same way. The children are out there fighting on the same law, same way, and dictating the same constitution. Mm-hmm. So, like I say, I go back to the time of Constantine the Emperor. Mm-hmm. And I told somebody this, and I said, one thing about Constantine the Emperor, a lot of people didn't like, they don't really like, because they say, oh, he's a pagan. I said, I may be agreeable. But one thing, he was smart enough to look at those Jews and those Hebrews and those guys that believed in their God.
Mm-hmm.
And because they was under his jurisdiction as slaves, but though they won the wars, he said, let every man decree and have his own religion among himself, as long as not one make problem with the other. And today we have that in Pakistan and in Israel. Mm-hmm. That's happening. And then you have in the streets of America with these Crips and Bloods and these other street nations of young brothers and sisters who have no understanding about those stars and how they really truly work in the best interest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do two things. One, a spoken word, and one, I tell the hip hop guys that rise under this
this. Wait. Are you doing the spoken word now?
Yeah, I'm doing the spoken word.
Okay. All right. I just want to let you guys know that this is. Let me do an intro. Do you have a? Is this a prepared spoken word?
Yes.
Is there a title for it? Go ahead. Tell us the title or something.
Well, it's Hip Hop to Hip Hope.
Okay. There you go. Go ahead.
I stand here today with Hip Hop to Hip Hope, but I used my third eye and I rearranged myself like John Pope, but resurrected myself like Lazarus when he came up out of the tomb. I stand here right now. I shoot you off like a baboon. I use no cartoons, no illustrations, but I come here to demonstrate it today. Educated. I come here to show the whole world it's no ultimatum. I stand here and look at the world like the young people in fantasy. Hip hop to hip hope. Can you hear me? Hear me in the spoken words as David, as he said, thee God will instruct thee, teach and guide me. But I come to you to show you there's a third eye that's riding on me. The riding of me in society and humanity, seeing young children dying, but using so much profanity, dying in the streets with guns and blood baths, all the way to Israel, back to Jerusalem, to the United States, to see so many young children. Heard a young shorty got shot just the other day. Hip hop to hip hope is here. There's no fear, no more crimes or tears, no more blood to shed. As long as we educate ourselves and understand reality, we can come together and sit down as a family and get an understanding with all police, police your community, police you, police everything that you see in society to make a better humanity. Hip hop to hip hope is only here to stand here for this year, for the next 20 years. As I look around, I sweat number bloods and tears. I stand for the last time using hip hop to hip hope. Now faith is the substance and the evidence of things that's hoped for but not seen. My young brother said he was rolling down with the stars. He wanted to take out the Pakistan, Jerusalem, but I said, hold on. You can find God. God is right there in the middle of your mind. Kingdom is what you want to build and what you want to see. But I stand here right now because either one of you shouldn't take the stars and kill each other in the streets. I come to uplift the whole world because what I see in Jerusalem and what I see in the United States, I see us coming together and we come together to hold and celebrate. But we have to come together understanding with knowledge, knowledge, but not abolish, to understand the hip hop, the hip hope. Hip hope is that in your heart, your integrity, and what you stand for with your family. I stand here in reality, and I uplift this society. Take on your own responsibilities in your culture and on your ethnics. When you stand there, I guarantee you everything will begin to start to happen. I'm just one spoken word artist that's just coming to you today. I ain't looking for no fame, no stars, but I'm here to set it straight. I'm going to be like Nehemiah. I got to hit that door, and I got to pray. But before I get out of here, I'm not going to leave you astray. Hip hop to hip hope. Peace.
Whoa. Powerful stuff.
Thank you.
I wish I had a bigger audience here. Can you guys at home clap or at work, wherever you are? That was very moving.
Thank you.
Really moving. So do you ever think about having your own family or anything like that? Do you have children?
Well, you know, I have. Yes, I do. I do have family. But let me tell you how I have family. I have family based off the fact I look at Lord Joshua. I was going to say a little earlier about this crescent moon thing. It was something that I discovered that I told these guys in the streets. I say, Abraham was the father of many seeds. You can say what you want to say. The guy said, well, I'm Muhammad, I believe. I said, well, if you find an am in there, then am that I am. So I say, if we let it be that what it is and what it has become, I say that we can make a change and make a difference. So when I look at how Bilal, who came from out of the city of Medina with the star David, and how he took the ass whipping for the prophet. And I said, what's the star? David took the ass whipping. I said, the prophet didn't take it. But I said, but at the same time, he comes out of Sin Medina, which is out of Jerusalem. And so I said, if we can use what Lord Yahshua, and we can use what Moses, and we can use what Abraham, when he possessed the land of Canaan, which you call it the holy city of Mecca, but I said, it was Canaan. I said, Ishmael, he had it. So you can say what you want. How you want to say it? It's still coming to Father Abraham. So with that being said, we have to exemplify and be an example, and we have to show the world that we can come together and we can use our minds in a great humanity way for humanitarian efforts. Now, I have to keep it 100. I said, since the days of Rome, they had many problems, but they resolved a lot, as many as they possibly could. And even to the day when you think about Israel and you think about Pakistan, and my soul, and my heart and prayers are amongst them, I know that one day, eventually, if they do make the decision to make peace, it's going to be a peace in a unique way that if they make peace, then the United States is going to have hell, and the United States is going to have to be prepared.
So I was asking you about whether you plan on having kids, right? And that was like the response. So I'm like putting it together. And
the response to that is I like to leave you with a thought of thinking, But the concept is to answer it and sum it up now that I got you to think and I had you to respond.
So I
got
to go home and listen to this again.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
I will. I kind of get that.
But the whole thing was really to leave that air, but to answer you, to cleanse it up, is basically that when I work in society, I come to find even the person of age who are so hopeless that can't define and help themselves become as a child. And so how could I deny them? If Lord Yahshua accepted the Father into his life, mm-hmm. and so did Abraham, did so too, so and many others. And some people don't believe in them, but they just spiritually led by their ancestors. And if they can do those great things and lead people like Gandhi and others, then why can I not do what I do in hip hop to hip hop?
Yeah, seems like you're doing it. What other things do you have planned for the group? For the organization, for your role as ambassador,
youth advisor to the Secretary General, or the hip hop program.
Your title, ambassador.
Yeah, yes, yes. I'm the youth. I'm ambassador of clergymen, and then I'm a youth advisor to the Secretary General.
Right, and you're Ambassador Tate.
Yes, Ambassador
Tate. That's the word I'm looking for now. Okay, Tate. So what do you have, looking forward to doing?
I'm looking forward to, we need a lot of support on what I'm doing. I'm looking for people who have studios out there. They have media production. People who may be interns that want to really get some good credit and really make a change, make a difference, mm-hmm. and willing to even have open up. We need space because it's like I can't really do the follow ups impactfully, mm-hmm. even though I'm in the communities mm-hmm. real hard, and I need to be able to have place in all five barrels. So if you know people out there that have space and we're open, so that when I'm in those mm-hmm. communities, I can invite those young people there, mm-hmm. and we want to be able to create. My next big move is to get at least about $15,000 under Dr. Cabral because she goes in her own pocket, pays and do everything. We have tapes now and albums. That's how I'm able to do all of this through her. But she's the executive producer.
So you're the producer.
Yeah. She's the executive producer. I'm the volunteer.
Right.
Yeah.
Reverend Dr. Margarita Cabral.
Yes.
She's the one who organizes
and talks me back into all of this. Yes. Yes.
And you're the...
Humanitarian, the voice of it.
There you go.
The voice for the voiceless to become the voice.
There you go. Yes. So I want to make sure that I also get out the email if you are interested in either becoming part of it in any way, yes. I think, or volunteering, or even if you have like an empty basement that can be used or anything, yeah. really, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, the email is cnn.cib15@gmail.com. So
and make sure that basement is safely and friendly because if I'm working with young people, you know, entrustment is the very first policy to society and humanity.
That's got to be safe.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So is there anything that we've got 6 minutes left? A few of those I have to do our wrap up, but is there anything that you would like people to remember or things that people, just average people, can do to make the planet a better place for all of us? Or do you want to do some more spoken word?
I could do the both. I have no problem.
Okay, this is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm just going to finish out my little spiel about listening to Radio Free Brooklyn and then turn it over to you. And so thank you for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I'm here with Ambassador Tate. We're talking about a program that he has for youth called Hip Hop to Hip Hope. And stay fucking tuned because right after this, it's such great. We've got such a great lineup. We've got Elon Danziger, Lost and Rewound. I got my friend that I love, Ben Talks, I think, is after that. And Tom Tenney, the station director's on tonight. Just stick around. So I'm going to turn the rest of this 5 minutes over to my new friend, Ambassador Tate. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to first of all thank everybody out there that's listening. And I'm humbly grateful to, as she said, my new friend as well, Lisa, and thank her and her husband. Thank K-9 as well, because God did create dogs to do what they do and animals to do what they do. And thanks for that. But I just want everybody out there to know that I do this from the bottom of my heart, and it's very severe out here, as you already know, and see what's happening in society. And music does heal, and conversations the right way can heal. Illustrations and from any form of entertainment of the arts, maybe even sports. Sports can change lives. So I'm combining them all. We're talking about drug guns, which is drug and guns, for short, drug guns. And we're talking about entertainment. We're talking about society. We're talking about humanity. At the United Nations, we are working for the next 3 years of my seating to the campaign of 2025. We want to see every young person that's right now probably at the age of 14, by the time 2025 get here, those young people will be developed enough to be able to run society and to be able to help add to society and what it needs in the best interest of the next generation under them. So we know that music has not really reached the full potential of what its capability of doing to lift the conscious awareness in regards to humanity. And I leave you with these spoken words. It was just the other day, I had this little kid. His name was KK. KK was sitting on the dock of bay, and he was trying to imagine, but he said time was running away. KK ran into his friend named Run Run. Run Run had a gun. He began to run, but he said, I saw my son. He said, what a son. The darkness has begun. Ray Ray was trying to understand, how could we play not Russian roulette, but I wanted to make my life much greater yet. But then Run Run said, I gotta run, cause I see some red and blue, yellow, something coming after me. It's true. Deja vu with an attitude. But Ray Ray say, hold up. Wait a minute. How can this really be happening? We came together. Now you snapping in. Wake, come out of the resurrection of your lifestyle that you're living in. Run Run say, I gotta run. I gotta go. I see somebody coming. I don't see no sun. The sun. Ray Ray say, but it's dark outside. But that's what I mean. Somebody just got shot down the street on the block outside. So Ray Ray began to understand and began to visualize in a new world of illustration. He said, I got to come up with Run Run with some other demonstration for education. I got to bring him into my edification. So he brought him into a situation, and Run Run said, hold it, man, I see a light. He said, what light? The light of a spark lights or something, but I see my other friend get shot last night. How can I come out it? That ain't right. He said, sure enough, that is to be. So Ray Ray said, I got a new case. He said, what is that? I'm a lawyer today, and I'm representing you. Represent me for what? I never been to jail or penitentiary. He said, yeah, but guess what? The other kid that said you shot Damon, he said he's going in to turn you in. He said, no, he can't be. He said, I'm going to get him. My last name is Run Run. I'm going with the gun. Ray Ray say, not today. The DA is waiting on you right around the corner. How's that? You my friend. How can my friend turn me in? He said, it wasn't me, your friend, that turned it in. It was the dark side that did it again. We have to understand the moral solution to this is that we as a society, for things that are in dark, there's light there. But what can we do for humanity? What can we do with our subconscious in mind to come from out of ignorance and foolishness? How can we do the way Ray Ray did? And how he saw how Run Run was willing to take the gun. Run Run thought the gun was his God, but he began to realize that it wasn't, and come to find, not knowing that Ray Ray had studied to become a lawyer and a consul. He's getting all the reports that was happening in the neighborhood. Same thing that's happening in society, same thing that's happening over in this world. We here in the radio land, and we here as listeners, and we as the people out there, you the general public, can make a difference. You have the power, you have the integrity. I tell a lot of people, regardless of what ethnic you are, some people say, well, I prefer one ethnic. Well, all ethnic have their problems, and they are falling out. Generational gaps between everyone. So if you don't